It is it. Winning at life. Live Financial Talk Radio. Your wallet's favorite show. Could be known as thebomb.com, but it's winningatlife.com. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is Live Talk Radio. Yeah, I might have repeated myself, but 504-504. You ready? 504-260-0995. Join the conversation.
I'm your co-host, James Parker.
Hey, James.
Dude, this is so funny. I found this in my notes from a show that we had done in 2015. And you may remember last spring, I showed up here, right here in this studio, because I found it in some of my trailing notes. And this came across my desk at the studio again today. And that is this column from Zero Hedge by the anonymous pen name Tyler Durden. We're familiar with some of his stuff, and if you've listened to the show long enough, it's not the first time you've heard that name. And in this, this was written September 11, 2015, so 3 years ago. It's official. The next recession will definitely not happen in 2018. You remember us? You remember me talking about this before? I brought it up just in short little clips twice before.
Well, we're how many quarters in? We've not had a reading on the third quarter. But after two quarters, they don't see it come. I can be on board with that. We're definitely not having two down GDP reports consecutively, right?
Well, unless like a 9/11 happens like right now. Right? We're running out of time.
It'd still be tough. I can totally buy into that. Yeah, there's not going to be a recession this year.
Okay.
Because we could, it could get lost on the fourth quarter, but not the third.
It's yeah,
I can't see it on any quarter of this year.
So we feel pretty safe that the recession is not going to happen in 2018. You know, there's still an off chance.
It's a different way to say it. I'm gonna give you a prediction on the next recession. The earliest the next recession could arrive would be in 2019. News at 7.
Okay,
and it's after 7.
All right, so Tyler Durden, this cracked me up because this was a survey of the top economists in the country, the PhD economist, right? And they were surveyed, and 75% of them were expecting the next recession to happen in 2018. And so Tyler Durden says, okay, well, if 75% of surveyed PhD-holding economists think that the next recession is going to happen in 2018, then it's definitely not going to happen in 2018. And he said this 3 years ago, and it turns out this guy's right, and three quarters of the PhD economists, at least according to this survey, got it wrong. What's the point of listening to an economist with a PhD when it comes to the economy if three quarters of them were wrong? You know, and they get on TV and they sound so confident. So kind of saying, oh, well, you know, the recession's right around the corner.
What about Blackman? You know, we never did talk
Stockman.
About the Stockman. Why do I always do that?
Because there's another guy named Blackman.
Yeah, okay. We'll stick with Stockman then. Well, did you see him on Maria's show on Sunday?
He did Sunday Morning Futures?
Yeah, he did the whole show. You didn't see that? You're going to have to go back and look at that. We might should talk about that tomorrow.
I'll go get it
there. But yeah, it was full on her and him talking about what's to come, and there's a little Maria did some pushing back too, argued with him a little bit about it, but his main thing is he's still stuck on the debt. He really questions that, and she challenges him on it. So we'll play you some clips for that tomorrow night and Saturday morning.
Well, they must have recorded that right after they recorded Wall Street Week, because he was our guest on Wall Street Week. And did we even play that on the show Saturday? I think we played some of that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, quantitative tightening and debt will kill the economy. But I love it when this happens. This is adorable that a smart aleck like Tyler Durden can say, oh, really? 75% of PhD economists said the economy is going to do this. I bet it does the opposite. And it turns out he's right. What's Gregory, do you have an answer to the question, what's the point of a PhD in economics if they're going to be this wrong? Is there a point, or does someone just have to memorize what all these complex terms are? Because predictions is not their strong suit. That's it.
Is predictions anybody's strong suit other than it's awesome when they get it right, they can get famous?
Well, who do we trust?
I picked the presidential election month before.
And the Super Bowl, if you want to bring that up.
Okay, we can throw that in there if you don't mind. I know it's painful for you. But hey, got it right. That don't mean I didn't the time before, and we'll see about next time.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, you did get it. You got it the last 2 years because of the greatest comeback in the history of ever. Remember the Brady comeback, and then you picked the Eagles this year.
Well, I was talking about the president election. I didn't get that right twice in a row.
Oh, okay.
But we changed our algorithms. That's a great phrase to use. Makes you really smart, huh? Mm-hmm. We changed our algorithm. We updated our algorithms, and we nailed it this time.
This time? But for this?
This past election.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
For president. We're almost, 2 years in now?
Well,
So we'll see how that goes.
Can you crank out a prediction for the midterms, maybe?
The midterms?
That's a whole different algorithm?
Yeah, that's actually a little bit scary. I don't even want to delve into that. I don't. We're going to stay away. I might lose all credibility.
I have another legendary sports star bilked for millions of dollars from their air quotes wealth manager. Kevin Garnett.
Really?
$77 million. And what we're learning from this one is the big guy got caught up by the same fella that duped Tim Duncan out of some money, but apparently Garnett got the worst of it. $77 million were lost to this wealth manager. Kevin Garnett's suing. He's suing the accounting firm that hooked him up with this guy and that was doing his taxes, saying, hey, you didn't figure out, looking at my books, that this guy's been taking money from me this whole time. He can't actually sue this guy. I'll just tell you his first name, Charles. You want to guess why he can't sue Charles currently and he's only suing his old accounting firm?
He died.
No, Charles was sentenced last year to 4 years.
Oh, he's
in federal
already
prison. Yeah,
in trouble.
Yeah, he's
already in prison or he's dead.
Yeah, he's on a 4-year federal term for what he did to Tim Duncan, a few million bucks.
So what was it? What was the deal?
He got a hold of his accounts. He got Kevin Garnett to sign him over as an active user on his accounts.
Oh,
so he had
custody.
That's right. That's.
That's the dangerous word.
Same story.
Is giving an individual custody of assets. With that said, our firm never has custody of assets, nor does I or any of our advisors have custody. We have discretion, meaning I can make buy and sell decisions for the firm's portfolio strategies, but we can't redirect money. Custody means that I'm managing your money, but if I want to send some of it to Fred in Toledo, I could do so. That's what custody means. So if I don't have custody, how does money move? It moves by the client. The client has to sign off on it moving, and we don't send money to third parties for clients except in situations of an IRA RMD going to a charity. But the client is signing off on that. We can't just do it. So when a client calls up, and we did this for a client today, they have a building project and he thought he had pulled enough money, but he needed another $20,000. So he had left us instruction. We called and confirmed because the securities had been sold. We've settled. The cash is in the account. And my lead trader, I had him call. I said, just call Kevin, not Garnett, but Kevin, and just confirming it's $20,000 you're wanting to receive. Okay, we're about to click send on it and did.
Kevin Garnett did not have that set up, and he didn't want to have it set up. What he had this guy, he said, you handle my money, you handle my financial plans, you can see any business investing, you know, you go ahead and do it, just run it by me first. So the guy's spending money. Kevin Garnett's backup was supposed to be these reports from the accounting firm. And the accounting firm was doing the reports and sending him, like, hey,
he reading them?
Probably not.
Probably not. And how long were they delayed? He's getting the reports daily, so he's next day after everything. Look, you should have money. Money should be custodied where you're getting reportings. Like Fidelity Investments is where we custody assets. So that means Fidelity has custody of the assets. And from a reporting standpoint, they're reporting. So you could log into your account and see everything. If money's moving, it's there. You're receiving notifications. You know, it's just like when we're working with a client and they're not sure of what's going on, and let's say it's on a variable annuity, because we had that discussion the other day. Somebody had, and they thought it was a fixed annuity, because I was referring, oh no, it's a fixed annuity. And they had the contract with them a few minutes before they were starting to cover a few things. I said, I'm aware of it. I've already looked over the entire contract. Oh, okay. Because then I started giving them information. That's where he said, oh no, it's a fixed annuity. And so here, you've got the contract. Let me show you. It's right there on page 3, right there at the bottom. It said variable annuity. Now, I'm not going to call the rep and ask him questions on it. I'm going to call, let's say it was with Prudential. I'm going to call Prudential Service Center and ask them questions, because they're the ones that have made the promises on the contract. So we want to get it from them, not somebody else that might not have been quite clear on what was going on. We'll pick this up when we come back from the break.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. If you're an NBA star and you're looking for someone to watch your money and not steal it all, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. We do it every evening at 7 o'clock, 1 hour of updates on your money, tips. Tips are the best thing, I think. Winning tips. You can join the conversation with us, though. Mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, annuities. How about fixed ones or variable ones? How about that 401k? How about that pension lump sum? We had a discussion about that in the office today. Somebody came in. Well, it wasn't somebody, but Fred and his wife came in. And we talked about his pension options, spousal continuation, and what to do with the 401k after retirement. So if you have some questions and would like some direction, you know, on your hunt for peace of mind, call us. The show number is 504-260-0995. Let me see if are we getting any messages from the app so far. If not, here's your chance. Well, we did have somebody call the office and they were asking about the show. Okay, so they were updated. How to connect with the show, download the Winning at Life app. You can email us, text us, even call us from your smartphone. Yes. What's the code? What's the secret opt-in? Go to your app store and I know it's complicated. Type in Winning at, that's A-T, Winning at Life.
All right.
Time login. Go ahead, James.
You want to hear something weird about the Kevin Garnett situation? Charles, his wealth manager, treated him like he was a trustee of Kevin Garnett's trust fund. He had Kevin Garnett on an allowance. He controlled the assets. He leaked money to Kevin.
He put Kevin on an allowance while he blew through the money.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. So not only did he have custody, Kevin Garnett was under the chain of command or the flow chart or whatever on who has control. Kevin Garnett was under Charles. Well, really screwed up that attempted anonymity. But not only did Charles have access to the money, Charles had access to the money to Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett had to go through him to get his money.
Something was messed up there. Well, we already know that. The guy's in prison. So how much does Kevin have left?
We don't know. Now, he made a lot more than $77 million. Dude was a 15-time NBA All-Star.
Long career.
But wouldn't you just throw up for a week if you lost $77 million?
Now, I'm going to be devil's advocate here for a moment. Okay. He's missing $77 million. Did he spend some of that? Now, is that completely forthright? Yeah, the guy stole, ripped me off, but you spent like you were playing for 30 years, not 15. We do see that a lot of times from professional athletes. But geez, call us. Our number is 504-260-0995. If you're a sports star making ridiculous money, you know, we can take some zeros off the number and help you out with some guidance if you're about to do something you shouldn't do, like give somebody custody, make the advisor the trustee. But for the advisor, you should know better. You are advising funds, then you're being a trustee of the account. It's a conflict of interest. You know, that'd be like somebody asking me to help them with their funds, but, you know, I'm going to give you signature authority. Oh, no, you're not. That's custody. You're not giving me any authority.
Signature authority, huh?
Yeah, you're not giving me signature authority. You know, we're going to run the channels. We're going to get a CPA involved. We have a estate planning attorney. You know, if you're wanting to buy and sell some properties, we've got a real estate person to back up. Hey, if you're needing some debt, okay, we'll raise some debt to pay for the land. Okay, that's called a mortgage. We've got somebody on that, and we're getting all the teams involved. I would never do that without my team, because if we're needing to pull somebody, and just like on the show last week, we used all of the members of the team during the show. So we either were being texted by them, called, or had in studio, or reference, hey, this is who you need to call to solve this. I'm not an attorney. Wes is. He's the one you need to sit out, have a conversation with on that. And that's how it should be as a team. And none of that team should have signature authority, even the CPA. You know, the only one that should have signature authority is Kevin or his wife. If he doesn't have time to come by and sign off on it, then it's not getting done. Oh, I sign checks throughout the week at my office, and I have a senior accountant on staff, and she had me sign a check today for a deposit, and it will deposit into the bank. I can check it and see that it was. You know, it was a check the firm received, and I needed to sign off for it to be deposited, and it goes that way 100%. She's not writing a check. She does not have signature authority, and she's worked for me like 7-8 years, is a trusted person in my circle, but she does not have signature authority. There's only two people who have signature authority at my firm, myself and my wife, Stacy, and she's the chief financial officer of the firm. She actually has more signature authority than I do, probably, but there's 100% trust there. My senior accountant, a lot of trust there, but not signature authority. Kevin should have never given that over. Nobody should be that trusting, because you hear it, and you hear it not just in professional sports, you hear it in business. Like, yeah, we figured out she's been stealing like $20,000 a year for 8 years. You see it in the news. They've got some bookkeeper, accountant, cooking the books or writing stuff. There was something that became public recently because of funds being deposited, and then they weren't there to answer for it. But so, you know, what happens? There's a quirk somewhere that kind of pulls back the curtain on what they're doing. But, you know, gosh, do not give out signature authority. If you're that darn busy, then you have no business getting into it, because then you don't know what's going on. You know, there's called an off season in basketball and football and baseball, because you're pretty busy with your day job. If you don't have time for it, then you don't need to be involved in it. So wait. My job has me busy year round. And there's lots of, I would like to have time for, but I don't have it. So I stay focused where I'm supposed to be. I'm not having somebody, well, I'm busy here. You handle it and you sign off on it. You know, and I take it a step further. I have members of the team that do certain things on ordering and such. And then for an order to be processed, let's say we're doing a supply order of one team member that's going to put that together that manages that. But that runs through my senior accountant and she runs it by me. Now, I'm not looking at signs off, but we have a conversation. I said, if you think that's right, go ahead, let the charge go through. Because I have somebody else, my chief financial officer, that looks over those things as well. I don't, but my wife does. So we have an accountability system there, but we have limited signature authority.
One thing I like to do here is draw the parallels that we've seen with a successful plan, because the best that we've reviewed on this show is Shaquille O'Neal. And he had a similar setup as Kevin Garnett, where he had an accounting firm and he had a separate financial advisor and they worked in concert. They put him on a budget. Kevin Garnett had this Charles guy put him on a budget, had the accounting firm look at it and okay the budget. The thing is, if Shaquille O'Neal wanted to go make an extravagant purchase, he would go make the extravagant purchase and the guy would give him a phone call and say, listen, I can't stop you from doing this, but if you keep doing this, bad things are going to happen financially and you're going to get off track. This other guy, though, he didn't let Kevin Garnett do whatever he wanted. He was the gatekeeper to the money. He had the custody. And that's just one little detail.
I can do that and not have signature authority is when I'm seeing that or somebody keeps hitting their account and it's going to wreck what the plans are. Yeah, we're going to have a phone conversation. But always at the end of the day, it's always their money. And we document that we had a discussion about what's going on there. I can't stop him. But if he, and from my standpoint, he calls office and says, send me $50,000. We may have a question on repeatedly, but you know, it's their money. And basically it comes down to, they give me instructions to do that. You know what my option is? Only one, and it's to fulfill that request. But we will have a conversation. Are you aware of what this is going to do to your plans? That's the appropriate thing, is bring it up to him, but geez, don't sign it off to somebody else.
And the poor guy's he's in a rough spot because he can't go back to work. He, you know, it's not a job you can unretire from. He's done with basketball.
Yeah, hopefully there's some more. When we come back from the break, Chris... He texted us, so we're going to talk about his question.
All right. If you have a question you'd like to call in for, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Last segment, we were talking about Kevin Garnett regarding all that money he lost. I was thinking, if I was the owner of the team, say the Celtics, that paid him a lot of that money, I'd be kind of upset that he lost it. Like, geez, we could have just kept it for you and put it in a deferred contract, dude. You know, and pay it out over the rest of your life. You know, those structures can be done. You don't necessarily have to structure these contracts to where it pays you all the money now. Sign a $100 million contract. Get what you need now and have the rest paid out through an annuity over the rest of your life.
No, I want my money now. I made it.
I want it now. It's my money. I want it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can get you in trouble, can't it? 504-260-0995, the Winning at Life app. Text or email us through that.
What's up with Chris?
You can also email info@gregoryricks.com. Chris, member of the Winning at Life app, so he's a member of the nation, emailed us. He has a question. I'm active duty military and put 15% of his base pay into the L2050 TSP account. So that's the government type of 401k. Now the 15% represents $650. He also maxes out his IRA each year. Would it be better to put everything into the TSP or continue with putting funds into both accounts? Both are going in pre-tax. You have different choices with the IRA than you do the TSP. Really, the TSP comes down, I think you've got about five choices there, maybe a few more. But at the core, there's a few choices. The IRA, is you have abundant choices. One of the things, I don't know your age and total income, but we'll assume you have time to put money to work, and we'll assume you're not maxing income to where you can't have deductible contributions or Roth contributions. So one of the things I would consider on this, my guidance is consider a Roth IRA for the money outside of the TSP, because it's like paying tax on the seed instead of the harvest. On your TSP, on your IRA, you are paying tax on the harvest. What does that relate to? Down the road, it's called retirement. You start taking distributions. That's the harvest. So you're going to be taxed on it when it's much larger. I'd rather be taxed on the contribution to the account, which is much smaller. So I'm good with you keeping them separated. I just want you to think about the Roth. The difference on it is not deductible. It's an after-tax account, but it grows and distributes tax-free. So it might be something worth thinking about. Thank you for texting the show, Chris.
Are you ready for some numbers?
Yep.
The Number. Hey, welcome to the Number segment on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world while you were at Winning at Life today. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs I'm looking at right now. Go to the numbers page, winningatlife.com, and the Winning at Life app. Mixed day, but just barely. The Dow slipped below the 26,000 milestone. It's now 25,995.9. But that's a little disappointing. It was actually up 20 points today, but the S&P was down 0.4%. NASDAQ down 0.9%. Russell down almost 0.8%. So no records were had on the indices today.
Crude oil, $67.87 a barrel. Brent crude, $76.58. What I see there, we're just not quite out of any norms right there. Treasuries at 2.873%. Once again, kind of within norms. So then we move on to gold, which is below the norms that we've experienced for a while. So is this the new norm, just hanging around 1200 an ounce? It appears so.
Get it a pillow, man. It looks comfortable.
It does. $1,206.90 is what we're showing the last trade on gold. And silver, a little below what we thought was the norm, but now we're trading at $14.21. The new norm had seemed like it shifted to 14 and a half. Now it's moving down lower. So, you know, if you want to keep a watch on it, because we are, just tune in every evening to Winning It Live.
What was that at?
$14.21 for silver.
I can't get much lower than that, can it? I mean, I'm not going to jump in on it.
Yeah, it has a base at $14.19. Okay. It's a fixed silver.
It's a famous last words. Is that what that is?
It can't get much lower. Well, let's see. 1 month ago, we were at $15.56. And that, to me, is where it seemed like it hovered for a long time, was in that range. I'll go to year to date. So we were looking that in that range, we're going 1, 2, 3, 4. First 5 months of the year, it kind of managed in that range. And then we've had since lower lows, lower highs. If I go back to 1 year, we're hovering in that range for most of a year period until we get to mid-June, and this thing's been on a slide. And you know how slides go, fast downward. Be careful. I don't know that this is fast, but it's moving downward.
All right, up to the short sheet, it's a nice little mixed bag, but I want to just point out something streaming from yesterday's news. There was a congressional hearing. I know there's a Supreme Court over in the Senate, but in the House.
When did this happen? A congressional hearing?
I know.
Questioning people?
All right, so in the Senate, they're just having a circus where people are getting arrested and screeching and having little fits. But in the House, they invited in Twitter.
Techies.
Yeah, Facebook and Google. Well, Google didn't show up.
Right.
But Twitter and Facebook.
Understandably. Why would you want to?
Well, they look genius today because Dorsey showed up. Jack Dorsey, the guy who's running Twitter and Facebook, they didn't send the Android Zuckerberg this time. They sent Sheryl Sandberg.
I thought she's done excellent. And the Twitter guy, Dorsey.
He did fine.
I was impressed by him. He is out of his comfort zone, and his initial speech was basically saying that. But he did good for being out of his comfort zone.
I liked the people at the table more than I liked the senator or the congressman asking them questions. Because I was thinking, y'all know nothing. Have you ever even been on Twitter?
They only refer to their grandkids.
They must be. Or, you know, I've seen, the grandkids on their doodads all day, and what are you going to do about that? Was basically the questions I was hearing. But check this out. Twitter is down almost 6% today, and you may tie that to the performance, or at least the reaction to the performance. Facebook is down almost 3% today, but Google, the one that didn't show up, they're only down 1.2%. They got beat up the least.
Yeah, it's better to not attend. It wasn't required workout. It was optional. So they didn't attend.
They look smart. They look, and just take a tip. Next time they invite any of you, just don't go. Just don't say, listen.
Why didn't they invite our techie car guy?
Oh, Elon Musk?
Why didn't they invite him? He's not a social media company.
No. Is he losing it?
His stock is in correction territory, isn't it?
Wait, where's it on the short sheet? It's 280. That might be correction territory. It was like 320 a couple weeks ago.
Okay, well, we'll just look at a chart. We love us some charts here, but 280. Oh, I know some short sellers are loving him.
Finally.
Yeah, 1 year chart. We're looking at the high point on the chart was 380 back in September. Well, that's a year ago, basically.
All right, that's correction territory then.
Yeah, and then you kind of look, let's go to April. The high point in April was 306, and he's at 280. Heck, on, and this was the spike up, and this is the thing that's probably going to still land him in trouble. August 7th, the close was $379.57. So whoever was buying there, hurting now.
They're getting beat up. Big winner on the short sheet today is Fizz, the parent company of Shasta and LaCroix. And I did my part today, and I found a new flavor. They've had the lime flavor.
Actually a flavor that's good?
It's incredible.
And I'm not raining on their parade. I like the company, but I'm just not into the Fizz.
Well, some of their flavors are great, and some of them are god-awful. But they've had lime. Their new
black
one is
cherry cola. Bring it back.
Now, their new one is key lime. And I know it doesn't sound that much different than lime, but it's different and it's pretty good. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. It's our last segment. We've got about 11 minutes left. You can still join the conversation, 504-260-0995. If you're interested in one of my upcoming live events, we have one next Wednesday on September the 12th. You can call tomorrow, see if there is any room left. The office number is 504-832-9200. It's a wine, wisdom, and food pairing. We're going to have a little fun with some wine and food. And we're going to talk about money and multiple streams of income, tax diversity, and smoothing out that risk. How do you do that? $10 to attend. We'll match it. It's going to be at Ruth's Chris, which is like thefoodbomb.com. It's awesome experience you'll have and learn a lot about your money and learn some things from me and about my firm. 504-832-9200. You have to RSVP. Okay, moving to the show part here. This was kind of on my mind today, so I wanted to talk about it. And it's just something brief here. But when we're talking about survivor benefits, when you're turning those on, and it was a question, we were going over some information last night that was inaccurate, and I caught two of the things on the back end of the show. But aside from that, I have wanted to talk about this because it's been on my mind, because people will talk about turning on survivor benefits and what is the FRA. Essentially, it's your normal full retirement age based on your birth year. But if you turn it on earlier than FRA, there's going to be a reduction in benefit. And you may be asked, well, I'm wanting to turn on the survivor benefits so I can defer my own record, deem it, which means increase the account value and turn it on later. Well, if you're turning that on early, the survivor benefits, you are going to carry forward that reduction that you're going to be penalized with, so to speak, or that reduced benefit because you turned it on early. Why do they reduce it? Because you're drawing it for a longer period. But the opportunity here is for your record that may already be larger or will grow larger to be able to switch to. So just know that when you're doing that, that you take that reduction by turning it on, it's going to reduce your benefit by that same percentage when you turn that on. And one other thing I want to add to this, and then, yeah, this is technical stuff, but this affects people and their decisions when to turn these on. Now, if your deceased spouse that you're taking your survivor benefit from had turned theirs on early, the spousal benefits is based upon that reduced benefit that they were taking as well. So just keep that in mind when you're making those decisions, or if you're having a friend or family member bring up that. Now you know a little bit more information for the conversation. And if you need more details, you know where to call us, text us, or email us.
That's some heady stuff. Digest. You got it? All right, next.
Take a breath.
That's what I have to do sometimes. All right, have you heard of the FIRE movement? The FIRE movement, F-I-R-E, is a cute little use of initials there. It stands for Financial Independence Retire Early. And the FIRE movement, it's not something you see in the media. It's online. And there's thousands of anonymous bloggers who go to these FIRE movement forums and share information with each other because they are retiring early. And by retiring early, I don't mean before full retirement age of Social Security. I mean in their early 50s, 40s, sometimes even their 30s.
What do you mean? They retired, but they didn't mean to retire?
No, no, no. They're financially independent enough that they're just going to go ahead and retire early.
Yeah, I've read a number of stories. There's a lot of people that have done well that retire in their 40s, which is like, wow, your retirement's going to last like 50 years.
Yeah, and I found a good little rundown of a bunch of these stories here, and I can tell you a couple of quick ones.
But also there's something I've seen in this. When they speak of retiring, it doesn't mean they're not making money. There's one story I read about guys doing really well, but he's not some dot-com billionaire or whatever, or has tens of millions of dollars, but he has a reasonable income that's neighborhood of about 100K, maybe a little bit more, but he wrote a book, has a blog. He makes money from that. He has assets under management that he takes income from, and he has a couple rentals. What he did when he refers to retiring, he's not stopped making money. He just does not hit that clock. He does not have to be someplace 40 hours a week. He retired from having a job. So now he has a combination of passive income that's being generated. So remember, retirement is options. And retirement can be just, I don't want to do that anymore, so I'm retiring from it.
What's the thing you started saying lately? There is no retirement without income.
Right. There has to be income, so that's exactly right. We don't say it enough, I think, here.
Okay, so one of the stories that was that they went over real quick, this guy's 34 years old and retired, but you know, don't think his life has been all great. He dropped out of college to get a tech startup going. And he basically dedicated about 70, 80 hours a week to this thing and finally got it sold off at age 34. So for the past 14 years, he has not had a life at all. His whole life has been this startup. So he just cashed in, it sold off, and he has a few million dollars, but not even $10 million. And he's living off of that, but he's actually going to spend some time with his wife. Now they're going to have kids. He just didn't even want to bother having kids when you're working 80 hours a week and your whole life is this business. But this is his first time he's actually got to be an adult and live. And he's going to just try and make this will be his run. He did all his work in. And so he set it up to where he's getting streams of income from these other places. And he's running into some of these early retirement issues that other people are having. Another guy, he's in his 40s. His wife's a little bit younger than him, and she's a professor in college. Well, they just had a couple of kids, and they're done with kids. And when she wanted to go back to work, she's making a lot more money than he is. So he says, you know what? I'll just stay home with the kids. So wife is still working, but technically he just gave up his career, and he's sort of retiring. But, I mean, he's really sort of a stay-at-home dad as well. But when you say goodbye to that active income, there's a couple of problems you run into if you do it too early. Number one is there's a big gap between when you retire and when Medicare starts.
Yeah, you're solving all early retirees have to deal with healthcare costs.
And when you look over all these stories and start to take a cumulative effect, that's the number one thing that sinks people who retire early is runaway medical costs. They have some sort of emergency or some sort of surgery and their insurance doesn't cover everything or some sort of chronic condition that whittles it down. And that is the number one concern that they've pointed out in this forum here of people who end up in financial trouble for retiring early. They underestimate their healthcare costs. So how do you steer someone through that? Gregory, I want to retire tomorrow. Sorry, you're going to have to do the show by yourself. But what do I do to make sure I don't get ate up with runaway healthcare costs?
You're going to need to go out there and get quotes on health insurance and understand how they work. What are the high deductible, the normal? Like, I don't want to pay much out of pocket, if any. What does that plan cost me? Then, your wife's retiring too. Well, what's her costs? And then you have to expect it to increase. If it increases like it has the past few years, that's going to get totally out of control. So I don't know how you view that going forward, except you probably should factor a significant inflation increase above the inflation norm of everything else. But it, remember, I, on one of the recent shows, I had a couple come in last week, and the wife's the second to retire, but she's done. But one of the things she did was she underestimated her health insurance costs. It's about $400 a month higher than what she expected. Oof. It's not changing her retirement, but that was like, wow.
It's a big bill.
It is.
Yeah. And the another thing that is absolutely essential if you're going to retire super early, don't have enough assets to kick out income. Have enough assets that they kick out income, but your assets are still growing at the same time.
You have to have growth on income-generating assets.
Even when you're taking it out. So that means you're not going to be able to take out a big percentage of that. Tell me about your day job, Gregory.
Financial advisor, seeker of the path, guide on the distribution. You know, what's that most dangerous part of climbing Mount Everest? It's not the going up, it's the coming down, the distribution phase. My daytime number is 504-832-9200, Gregory Ricks. com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there. You can connect to all of our social media. Check out our YouTube channel. Watch us, podcast, listen to us live. And when we're preempted tomorrow, you can listen to us live here as well. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.